You pray for us tonight. The book of Job, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 6 tonight. The word of God said, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thine power, in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." From what I understand, Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and that he lived about the time of Abraham, and that he's one of those outstanding characters in the Word of God. That he's so outstanding that even the world recognizes when you speak about Job. But as we look in our text, and by way of introduction, just give you a couple of things about Job tonight. First of all, as we look, that he was a family man. Notice that as we look in the scriptures tonight, that he was a family man. He was a man that was married, and that he had 10 children at our reading tonight. But we understand that it takes more than a family to be a family man. And the evidence tonight is in his love for his wife and for his children. As the Word of God said, that he did sacrifice for his children. And we see the reaction that he had to his wife in chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? So notice that this man was a family man. But then notice tonight that he was a faithful man. Three times in the first two in the first eight, and then one in chapter 2 and verse number 3, you find the description that God gives of Job. Listen, the Word of God said there that he was a perfect and an upright man, and that one that feareth God and escheweth evil. But three times we find that description that he was a perfect and an upright man. That is God's description of Job, and that's not Job's description of himself. You understand that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they pinned down those things that God had given them. So God said these things about Job, that he was a perfect and an upright man. I reckon what God would say about each of us tonight, if our story was to be written. I don't know about you. I know about me. I don't believe there'd be those words. Perfect and an upright man. So listen, God honored Job in his very description of him. That he was the faithful man. That he is the priest of the family. In verse number 5, the Word of God said that he would get up every morning, and that he would offer that burnt offering according to the number of his children. And the Bible said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, thus did Job continually. So he was continually offering those sacrifices as the family priest for his children. Doesn't that set an example for me and you tonight, that we need to be spending time in that secret place, that we need to get on our face before God and begin to cry out to God and call out the names of our children and our grandchildren. Now, what a privilege it is, but what a responsibility that it is as well. Listen, I can assure you tonight that the world is not going to tell our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a lot of churches not even going to do that. But I like the old time way. And I think we've got a responsibility tonight to God and to our children to give them the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell them that old, old story. Thank God and get them to the house of God where they can get grounded and where they can get settled in God's word and God's way and God's will. Tonight we see that Job was a family man and that he was a faithful man. But then we notice tonight that he was also a fruitful man. Notice that verse number 3 said he was the greatest of all the men of the east. That he had great substance, that he was very wealthy. As Brother Robert mentioned a while ago, those blessings of God in those material things, and they were evidence of the blessings of God. Listen, so he had great wealth, but we're reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So it goes back to his being faithful to God that made him fruitful in these things. You know, so many tonight are getting the cart before the horse. Listen, they want all the wealth of this world, but they don't want God. But can I tell you, when you got God, you're not interested in the wealth of this world. It's not about having things, and it's not about things having you. Hey, but tonight it's about living and walking with God, being like Enoch who walked with God, and he was not. Can you imagine that? I thank God just be walking along one day. I thank God, and he was not, for God took him. It's going to happen one of these days. There's going to be that great catching away of the church. Thank God. I don't know when it's going to be, and neither do you. But I believe we're at the door. Hey, thank God. I'm glad Jesus is coming. He's a faithful man. He's a fruitful man. But now notice that the word of God said there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now let me say this before I go on tonight. Notice that it was the sons of God that gathered and presented themselves to the Lord, and that when they gathered, Satan came also. Reckon who's at the church house every time the doors are open. When you gather in the name of the Lord, God said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am I in the midst. But listen, can I tell you, the one that's the most faithful to the house of God, it is the devil or his minions. Listen, to show up every time you get together and try to have service and try to worship God. There he is, right in the midst of it, trying to stir up trouble, trying to hinder the will of God, and try to keep me and you from being blessed. You see, the devil goes to church too, but I'm glad that God's greater than Satan. Amen. Reckon we ought to just stop right there and shout for about 30 minutes. I'm glad I'm on the winning side, aren't you? I mean, thank God the devil devil may show up, but I'm glad that prayer can make a difference. I'm glad obedience to the Holy Ghost of God can make a difference. Thank God that he can't win unless we let him. Thank God, I'm glad there's one that is greater than he is. Just need to know he shows up when me and you show up. So he comes before God. And notice in our text that Job is mentioned. And that Satan suggests that the only reason that Job is serving God is because of all of these things that God has given him. Well, who does he think he is? Well, he thinks he's greater than God, didn't he? Tried to exalt himself above God. He wanted to be like the Most High. So here he is, and Job is mentioned in the conversation. I find it wonderful that it wasn't the devil that mentioned Job, but that it was God that brought up Job. What about that? If Job could have known something about that conversation, he might have faced things a little differently. Can I tell you, these things taking place in another world tonight, and there's conversation going on that me and you know nothing about. But can I tell you that when you and I are mentioned, our names are brought up. Thank God, I'm glad that God is in control of this thing. I'm glad that God is in charge of this thing. And the devil can't do anything without God allow it. I mean, I don't want to have to battle the devil all the time. But wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Job? And God have enough confidence in you that he brings you up to the devil for a shining example.
Well.
Have you considered my servant Job? Well, don't you imagine that Satan must have known something about Job? And perhaps he'd been trying to get a hold of Job and do some things to Job. Maybe he'd wanted to get him before, but he couldn't. And the reason being is given in verse number 10. The word of God said there, as Satan answered God, he said, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him?" And right there is where I want to park for just a couple of minutes tonight. And I'd like to preach on that hedge. I'm glad tonight that when God saves you, that he puts a hedge about you. Let me give you a couple of things about that hedge tonight. That hedge that is not just about Job, but I'm telling you, that hedge that is about every child of God, that hedge is a powerful hedge. Can I tell you tonight that hedge is administered, hedge is operated by God, that it is God that sets its bounds, and that Satan cannot come across that hedge because it is a powerful hedge and God is in charge of that hedge. My hedge means to shut in for protection or to fence in. If you think about it, we try to hedge our children in. The government tries to protect its citizens. But they do fail, and they can and do fail. But I'm glad that God never fails. I mean, what about that? That's a place we definitely ought to stop and shout for about 30 minutes. I mean, listen, our government's in a turmoil about trying to build a hedge. That's basically what it is down there on the southern border. Listen, but I'm glad I'm hedged in tonight. I'm glad there's a hedge built around me. I'm glad it's a powerful hedge tonight. And there's nothing on the outside can get on the inside without God give permission. Over there when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, as he's talking to the Father, he said, "Of all those you've given me," he said, "I've kept in thy name, and those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none," get that? "And none is lost." God has never lost a battle. God has never lost one of his children. I mean, thank God, as much as we love our children. I remember when my daughter, I guess it was little. We live right by the school in Caribou. And she was supposed to walk straight home, and she didn't walk straight home. She went to a friend's house between our house and that one. I mean, we didn't live much farther than here to the highway down there. And her mama just went berserk, wondering where our daughter her was, as much as she loved her, as much as she cared for her, still that child was lost. I mean, despite all the best efforts, despite everything she could do, our daughter wandered off. But I'm glad tonight, thank God, that you're never, never, never out of sight of God. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter who you're with. Thank God, God is right there. I got saved when I was 9 years old, and most of the next 10, 12, 14 years, whatever it was, I spent more time out than I did in. And I took the Lord to some wicked places that he had no business being in. You see, because he was with me, and I went some places I didn't need to that he didn't need to go, and I didn't need to be taking him. But what I'm saying is, I was never without God.
Never.
And the reason that I got in trouble was my own rebellion.
Yeah.
But it's a powerful hedge. John 10, Jesus said, I'm the door. That's pretty good, isn't it? He said it, in fact, at least twice, maybe three times. I am the door. Then in John 10 and 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man, that includes me, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Can I tell you tonight that that hedge kept Daniel when he was thrown in that den of lions? Can I tell you that hedge kept them Hebrew children when they were cast in that fire furnace? Listen, that hedge kept Peter when John had already been killed. It was that hedge that God had around Peter. Can I tell you, God, what that hedge was powerful enough for them, and the hedge is powerful enough for you. Amen. Thank God that hedge will keep you. No matter how bad Satan wanted Job, he couldn't get to him until God let him in. Satan was aware of that too. He said, don't you got, you got him hedged in. I can't do nothing with him. You've got him hedged in. It's a powerful hedge. I'm glad that it is just that. Not only is it a powerful hedge tonight, but I want you to know it's a personal hedge. Notice again in verse number 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? It was a personal hedge. And it was that because of his relationship with God. So therefore, everything was hedged about. The word of God said in Psalm 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. That's protection on the outside. You know, when you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost of God. He sealed you. That's protection on the inside. We're covered within and without. Wasn't that what the word of God said about that ark when Noah built that ark? And he pitched it within and without with pitch. I thank God it was protected on the outside, protected on the inside. I thank God what was on the outside could not get to the inside. I'm glad it's a personal hedge. And what's on the outside can't get to the inside. Because I've got a personal hedge of protection. I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, I belong to God tonight. I'm His and He's mine. It's a personal hedge. Over there in Genesis chapter 7, God invited Noah and his family in. That's what he said, come in, come thou in. That means he's already there. And then the word of God said, when they went in unto Noah and the ark, two and two, all flesh were in the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You know what happened one night, March the 21st, 1971. I fell on my face in an old-fashioned altar. I cried out to God. And you know what happened? God shut me in. My. Woo! All the while in that ark, there was judgment and darkness on the outside. But on the inside of that ark, thank God there was light. There was the presence of God. There was the provision of God. How the Lord had shut me in. How when God shut me in, He gave me everything I needed for the journey. Amen. It's a personal hedge. Means to enclose. That word shut means to enclose. It also means to hedge about. Not just me. And going by what the Word of God said, He hedged him about and about his house and all that he hath on every side. And it was all because of the relationship that Job had with God. So his children were provided for and taken care of because of the relationship Job had with God. And God hedged in Job and all of his house. Thank God. Oh my. My daughter was in high school. She started playing basketball in Little Leagues when she was about 8 or 9 years old. She loved it. She's pretty good at it. She started as at least one game as a freshman in high school and just about led the team in scoring that night. She just didn't have enough go get them. But she loved that basketball until she got in high school. Because in Little League and middle school, it's all about fun, all about being friends. But when it gets to high school, it becomes life. I mean, it's everything, and she didn't want it to be everything. She tried it for about a year and a half. But they would get together and have them team bonding things, you know. And in the summer, they would be on that, whatever they call it, traveling ball. They'd have a team of the high school team, and they'd do these things to bond and raise money. They even went to South Carolina one summer and played. But the team would get together and have these activities. One night she said, "Dad, we're all going to this girl's house on Friday night, going to have a sleepover, and we're just going to get together." I said, "Well, that sounds all right. That's pretty good." I knew the parent, or knew who he was, because I'd sit and talk with him. About 11 o'clock, the phone rang. She said, "Dad, I need you to come and get me." Mm-hmm. I said, "Okay, I'll be there in a minute." I drove over there and got her, and she got in. I could tell she was upset. I didn't say anything. I don't think she said anything to me that night. But the next day, she said, "Dad," she said, "I just need to tell you." She said, "It was more than I thought it was going to be." She said, "They got into Dad's liquor cabinet." And she said, "I'm going to be honest with you, Dad." She said, "I took a little drink. I wanted to try it." She said, "But I just couldn't stay. And I wasn't going to go along with that. That's why I called you, Dad. I don't want you to be mad at me." Can I tell you that when Dad wasn't there, that God had her hedged about? I bet now, all these years later, listen, if it wasn't for that hedge of God, I may have a daughter that's an alcoholic and everything else. But I'm thanking God tonight that there is a personal hedge. Back about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, my son went to Iraq. He was in the Marine Corps Reserve. When he told me he enlisted, I said, "You understand that you're probably going to end up fighting a war?" He said, "I know that." I said, "As long as you understand that." I said, "As long as you know that that's in your future, since you're going to be in the Marine Corps." He said, "I know that." So when the time came, they sent him out to California for some training. He come back home, and we knew the day was set that he was going to have to go. Mm-hmm. My wife come to me, and she laid her head on me, cried. She said, "I just can't send my son over to Iraq." I said, "Honey," I said, "it would not be fair for us to keep our son at home when so many more are sending theirs over there." I said, "We'll be all right." And I wasn't sure myself. You know, I was just trying to make her feel better. And the day finally come, and he said, "Dad, I need you to take me over there." I drove him over there on Alcoa Highway, and he made me park in the back, or way away from the door. I said, "Don't you want me to pull you over there and let you out and I hug you and tell you?" He said, "No." He said, "Let's do that right here." And he said, "Bye." I said, "I love you." And he got his stuff, and he walked out. I'm telling you, Dad wanted to grab a hold of that 23-year-old son and just hold on to him. I just wanted to hug him. I just wanted to keep him with me. He got out and walked away, and I got in my car and I began to drive down the road, and I cried out to God. I said, "God, you know my heart. said, God, I can't stand this. I said, God, you know how susceptible I am to worry and fear. You may not be that way. You just pray for me. Listen, I said, God, if you don't give me some peace about this, I'm going to worry myself to death. I'm going to make myself sick. Can I tell you, the whole time that he was over there, every time some wrong thought would come, God would just move it out. God would just give me peace. I didn't know what was going on, didn't find out till later, but I'm glad that God had him hedged about. Why? Because it was a personal hedge. He told me the other day, Wednesday, was it Wednesday? First day of school, his boy, 4 years old, first day at school. My daughter-in-law, they walked him up to the door, and then she went back to the car and spent 2 hours crying. I had to say something. He said, well, Dad, he said, it kind of bothered me too. He said, Dad, he said, I don't know how in the world that you let me go off to Iraq.
Yeah.
I said, son, I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't been for God, I said, there'd have been no way I could have let you go. I'd have had to dug my old uniforms out, and I'd have had to go with you. But I'm glad that when I couldn't go, that my God in heaven could go, and that he gave, put a hedge about him, and it brought him home safely. It's a personal hedge. Do you understand that? Remember when the Lord told Peter, he said, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Sound pretty rough. But you know what the next verse says? But I have prayed for thee.
What a hedge.
You know that was a hedge just for Peter.
Just for Peter.
God knew the need. And God provided a personal hedge for Peter right there. God knows your need tonight. Oh, listen, if you think about a missionary over in Africa, or somebody that's in a mission, or some pastor, preacher in some mean streets of some city somewhere, you understand that they have different battles and different struggles. But each one of them have a hedge, a personal hedge, because God knows. Satan may glare across that hedge, and he may yell across that hedge, but you can just stand over there and stick your tongue out at him. And you can just remind him that he can't cross that hedge. It's a personal hedge. But then let me close with this tonight. It's a powerful hedge, and it's a personal hedge, but it's also a permanent hedge. Unmovable. It is a continuous hedge. Thank God that just because God may allow access to us does not mean that the hedge is gone. There's still a hedge. Thank God. It's as permanent as God is.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
And I want to remind you tonight that God is eternal.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
So we're talking about an eternal hedge. And Satan can't do anything. Now, by our sin, we may get on the wrong side of that hedge. But the hedge is still there. And sometimes, like he did in the case of Job, God lowers that hedge, letting Satan in so that we can learn some things about ourselves. Learn that we're not all we think we are. Learn that we're not as spiritual and as strong. And lets that hedge down so we can see that there's still evil in us. God lets that hedge down. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 31. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. It's a permanent hedge. God may sometimes let that hedge down, but that's because God wants to do something in you.
That's true.
So that God can do something for you. So God can do something through you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted.
Amen, brother.
So we just need to learn to trust the Lord. And know that everything's going to be all right. Just like when Jesus said to them disciples, getting in that ship, he said, let us pass over to the other side. Well, they should have known that when he said that, that's the word of God, that they're going to arrive on the other side. That didn't mean there wasn't going to be trouble between here and there, but they were going to get to the other side. One way or the other, can I assure you tonight that we're going to make it? We're going to be all right. Heaven is just in sight. Thank God the best is yet to come. And until we get there, there's a hedge. God's got us hedged in. Thank God. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege of standing once again.